Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood,
the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
All right, welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood, mini review episodes of Percy Jackson and the Olympians on Disney Plus television series. What a long title. Episode 5. A god buys us cheeseburgers.
And he really does.
And oh boy, did he. Ava was saying before we started recording that this may be her favorite episode.
Yeah.
And I would say it's at least my top two. I do really love the Medusa episode.
I really like that one as well. We're really in the swing of things now. And like, I just think the way they did Ares' character, I'm kind of so obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Because I'm really, really into like how they write him in the books as well. And I was kind of like, when I saw the actor, I was like, are you too attractive to make this character not suck? You know what I mean? But like, they did make him kind of the worst in like a very specific way. And I was very, very
in a way that he was still hot though. It was like kind of uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that I was like, you're being so awful right now.
I know.
Debbie Ryan hair tucked behind
I know. I feel the exact same way. Yeah. So I just think they did his character kind of perfectly. And like, we got to see the most wonderful, sweetest little Percy Annabeth, like friendship interactions. So real and so like, oh my God. I also just like, I'm obsessed with the amusement park ride that like might be my favorite part of the Lightning Thief book. I just think it's so funny. And like the visuals in the book were so clear for me. And like, that's huge, at least for me. Like when I can really envision it, like, that's going to leave, you know, a really positive mark in my brain. And they really, like, I don't know. They didn't let my crazy standards down. Like, the ride was incredible. And, like, I don't know. I really loved it. And Annabeth being like, don't even try to tell me to not be weird about this. Like, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Disney, build the ride, you cowards. You won't. Leo, it can go in Epcot. Perfect for Epcot.
Perfect for Epcot. Miss Leo was acting this episode.
Yes.
Like, so were all the rest of them, but like Miss Girl was acting and like it was so good. I love this arc they've set up for Annabeth that I feel like because the books are from Percy's point of view, we don't get to truly appreciate like. Like, Percy notices that this girl has... But, like, I feel like we just get to focus so much more on how Annabeth changes and how this experience is changing her and how knowing Percy is changing her and, like, in a way that we don't get to see in the books because we're under the narration of a 12-year-old boy who, like, is also still, like, what the fuck is going on to, like, everything that happens to him, you know?
Yeah. And
we really get to see Annabeth grow and she's so cool and sweet. She's standing up for herself. Also, why was Hephaestus like only there to be a little sweetie and then exited?
I know that was so random, but
it was great. That was perfect. It was like,
it was.
I think the changes that they made to this scene perfectly took advantage of the new medium. Like you were saying, the original book is from Percy's POV, but even though it is still Percy Jackson and the Olympians, it is Percy, Annabeth, and the Olympians is what these books are. Like, and like, especially as a TV series, it really allows us to have an ensemble cast like we do in Heroes of Olympus and like the reasons that people have a lot of love for those books, even though they're bad, objectively. They're not all bad. No, they're not bad. We love them, but oh boy, do we have thoughts about them.
Blood of Olympus still leaves such a terrible taste in my mouth.
Terrible taste in my mouth. For the most part, we love them. But the reason I don't think they're as good, but love them kind of more, is the ensembleness of the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that we're taking advantage of this medium in which it has to be third person.
Yeah.
And so we get to see moments where Percy is frozen in a little block of gold or like gold statue. So we have just an Annabeth character moment. That's great. And that's something we couldn't get in the original books.
Completely.
And I think it is a really clever way to take advantage of that.
Also, Grover being a manipulative king, we love to see it. He sat down at that table and was like, let me play mind games with the god of war. Like, king.
Awesome.
If the whole episode was that, I would have been fine.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a good, such a well-written convo.
I was obsessed with
it. He was so great at it.
He was like, I don't know. I like the deep cut wars. And Ares is like, tell me more. Like, he's like, are you, like, am I about to adopt your ass? You know, like, it was so.
it was so great. I loved it. And I also loved the critique of Athena that is continuing. I think that's just really clever because I wish. It's in a hard position because she's also the really only female god we're discussing.
Yeah.
So I don't love the light that like forces her into, but I guess Hera was kind of talked about, but Hera was more a plot device and she's not really a character.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Athena's not showing up in this season, but she is a character as Annabeth's mother. That like Athena is objectively kind of a terrible goddess.
But I think that it's unfortunate that it's the only female goddess we have time to talk about in this show. But like, I do see why they're doing.
Oh yeah. That's, I really like what they're doing.
Yeah. Cause it's like Percy starting out at the like, fuck all of you. I'm sending Medusa's head to Olympus. I hate you all so much. And Annabeth starts out as like, they have no faults and they can do no wrong and it's all perfect. And this is a perfect situation that we have going on here. And we see both of them start to approach a middle ground in that opinion, And that is so vital to start us off on like the whole journey of this series.
Yeah.
Is that they need to have an acknowledgement that there are problems in the system, but also be willing to fight for it, you know?
And that's one of the advantages of like, we talked about a couple episodes ago of being able to write backwards a little bit. Like, this is the Athena that's being painted here is much more the Athena that was painted in like the Mark of Athena than, and the later Percy Jackson books than the Lightning Thief, because she is more nuanced. She is someone who did turn Medusa into Medusa, and we didn't shy away from that. And that was great. And like, things like that is like, Athena is not a girl's girl.
No, she's not. And it's so sad.
She is not.
She's got time. Like the rest
all
of
the
it.
Time in the fucking world.
Oh yeah. We would like to see more from her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts in this little mini review of episode 5?
He's going to need to be chatting with a zebra within the first couple frames.
Right, please.
I was so not convinced that the animal truck would make it into the show. I was like pretty sure. Like, I was like, if something's going to go on the cutting room floor, it's this, like they can get to Vegas in so many other ways, like that aren't this. And then as soon as that truck was in frame, I was like, oh, we better talk to Zebra. That's so funny that we're including this part of the book. But I guess that's what's good about having a TV show, is that you can really get everything in there, including the silliest scenes.
Yeah.
Because it's not vital that we learn in this like season that Percy can talk to horses, but I'm glad we're learning.
I am glad too.
True.
All right. Well, that's all for this week. Join us next week where we'll be discussing episode 6.
Woo-hoo.
And also check out our regular episode that is coming out in a couple hours about The Trials of Apollo. You know what it is.
You know what?
Bye.
Bye.